to see all of you here. I hope you've had a good week thus far in the Lord. It's good to see all of you here on this Wednesday night service. Good to have visitors with us. Little Jordan asked a prayer tonight. She is going to have a root canal soon, so that can be nerve-wracking. So please pray for her that she will be calm. And the dentist will be gentle, and the medicines will take effect before they start their business. So y'all pray for little Jordan. We're going to look at a verse in Genesis 2:7, and then one in John 11:25. Well, let's go to Genesis 2:7. Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 7. Here's just a few questions while you're turning there. When you wake up in the morning, how do you feel? I'm talking physically and emotionally. You ever wake up and say, what is the reason I'm even getting up out of bed today? Suicide's on the rise. We had two prayer requests tonight in the youth zone for suicides. Suicide amongst Christians is on the rise. We're not exempt from depression and anxiety and things of that nature. Generally speaking, what kind of attitude do you start your day with? You know, no matter how bad the storm is on one day, and the wind, and the rain, and the hurricanes, the next morning when the sun comes up, birds begin their day with a song. Saw something this week that said, things and decisions I've made in the past, sometimes I catch myself looking in the rearview mirror. But the windshield is so much larger than the rearview mirror, because where we're headed is so much more important than where we came from. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, Pastor, it seems solemn. No, that's going to be a good one, I promise. It is. Midweeks are tough. You've worked hard. You fought the devil. Fought yourself. Sin. And you struggle to come out here on Boggy Creek Road. So, midweeks can be tough. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, the Bible says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Of course, we know this was before the fall. Sin took a toll on man, did it not? Just disobedience. It wasn't, some horrible blushing, causing us to blush type of a sin. It was simple disobedience that caused the fall of man. Over in John chapter 11, but God breathed into man and made him a living soul. Then the fall happened, and the Bible says we were dead. In Ephesians 2, 1 and 5, we were dead in trespasses and sin. John chapter 11, verse number 25. Gospel of John, chapter 11, verse number 25. John chapter 11, verse number 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead. Hey, how can a dead person, because we're talking spiritual here. Spiritually speaking, we're dead before we know Christ. When we put faith and trust in Him, He quickens us, or He makes us alive. Let's read it again. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me, listen to what it says, shall never die. Believest thou this? I'm going to be honest with you, dear friend, that after we trust Christ, our personal Lord and Savior, who is the giver of life, I saw another thing this past week. It said, he died as a lamb, but devoured death like a lion. Oh, death, where's the sting? Because he lives, we have life eternal. And because we put faith and trust in Christ, we come to an agreement with God that he said for all have sinned, and we just conclude ourselves in agreement with that because we are part of all. And he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we put faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, repentance for God, because we've tried good works, we've tried bad works, we've tried living in sin, we've tried to be moral, and we were left void and vacant of hope. But Jesus Christ, the anchor of our soul, when we put faith and trust in Him, He moved in and gave us life. That's what he said right here. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. There was a mom and dad that took their two boys to state fair in their local, in their state. It happened to be in their proximity. And so they went there, and the day they went there was the day that you can buy those armbands. You buy the armband, and you're free to do anything and everything on those rides in there. But the boys had never been to a fair at all and didn't have any understanding of the armband system. And the dad bought the armbands. He said, boys, now you're 11, 12 years old. I'm going to trust you a little bit. I'm going to let you go ahead, and I'll meet you back around here in about 2 hours. You can tell this story's old. 11 or 12 year olds nowadays need to stay close to mom and dad. But anyways, just to clarify that. And so the dad and the mom, they just hung back a little ways. They let the boys go. And they kept them in sight. They stayed behind and watched. They were just thrilled about all the lights and the rides, the music, the Ferris wheels, and everything that was going on. They heard the shouts of joy, you know, and the shirks of laughter from the different people riding the various rides. And with excitement and wide open eyes, they just took it all in and was amazed at the atmosphere. And they would see the roller coaster go by, and it would even make their stomach kind of, you know, have that little feeling. Just seeing it go by. And they were watching everybody enjoy the rides and excited about everything. And then the more people that boarded the rides and rode and seemed to be having a good time, the whole thing began to wear out. Oh, we're here. We're at the fair. But we can't enjoy the rides like everybody else is. They had no money. They had no way to purchase the tickets in their little minds. And their dad, as he watched them for over an hour, stop at every ride, just was amazed. He was thinking, well, maybe they're trying to figure out which one they want to ride first. Finally, after about an hour, hour and 15 minutes of that, he walked up and said, boys, what are y'all doing? He said, Dad, we're just enjoying the view. He said, well, why are you not riding with the other people? He said, Dad, we don't have any money to buy the tickets. He said, oh, son, the fare that I paid at the gate for the armband, the wristband, He gave you all rights to write all of these books. Dear friend, I'm just amazed at the amount of Christians that are watching everybody else enjoy the blessings of Christ. Enjoy the environment of the atmosphere that we are in with the Lord, and the access of approaching the throne. You think, well, maybe they can, but maybe she can, but I don't have no access. Dear friend, when you put faith and trust in Christ, Jesus said, I come to give you life, and life more abundant. The Christian life, dear friend, is a life worth living. Living for Jesus, a life that is true. Striving to please Him in all that I do. Yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free. This is the pathway of blessings for me. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee. For Thou in Thy atonement didst give Thyself for me. I own no other master. My heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone. Living for Jesus, who died in my place, bearing on Calvary my sin and disgrace. Such love constrains me to answer His call, follow His leading, and give Him my all. Listen, dear friend, it is the thief that's come to kill and destroy. I saw a little video clip this past week. Had two little antelope-looking things out there fighting each other. You know how they do during rut season. They start locking horns and trying to take territory. Well, they were out in the jungles out there in the wilderness of Africa, it looked like. I couldn't really tell where it was at, but they were locked up. All the other animals were watching what was going on, these two fighting amongst themselves for rights. And the whole time they're fighting and back and forth, back and forth, here come the big lion over the hill. Everybody else saw it. All the other antelopes, they saw it, took off running. But the two that were fighting amongst each other had no idea what was fixing to devour them. And that big lion jumped upon that one and devoured it. Just totally devoured. That's how we spend most of our Christian life, fighting amongst each other. We're brothers and sisters in Christ, dear friend. Yeah, we're human. Yeah, we have our differences. Yes, we make mistakes in life and make mistakes. But so often, though, dear friend, we leave the mistake-making and go off into sinning. And we still try to label it mistakes instead of calling what God says and getting it right. And so the devil gets us out there in the sin. Remember, the thief cometh but to kill and to steal and destroy. God sent His Son, the Lamb of God, to die on the cross of Calvary, that you and I might have life and have it more abundant. And yet, we're brought back once again into bondage because we're not living a life that we should live for Christ. Look over in Galatians chapter number 2 and verse number 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20. Remember, in the beginning, God made man, formed him out of the dirt of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, made him a living soul. Sin came in. We were dead in trespass and sin. Faith in Christ quickened us, made us alive. And if we believe in Christ, like Jesus said there, I don't want you to take my word. In John 11:25, the Bible says, "And Jesus said unto her." The word of God said, "If you believe in me," Jesus said, "If you believe in me, that I am the resurrection and life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, he shall live." Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20. Now that we put faith and trust in Christ, the Bible says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." We got to understand, dear friend, once Christ saves us and redeems us, he bought us back, we're twofold his. His by creation, all things were created by him. We're his by creation. Then, because of sin, and we trust him as our personal Lord and Savior, we're then, therefore, his by redemption. But many of us are not living a life of enjoyment of Christ and for Christ because we're allowing the devourer, our arch enemy, which is a roaring lion, seeking whom may devour. He's destroying us. But if we yield ourselves as a life for Christ, it brings great joy. It brings great peace and contentment. It brings satisfaction. This world, dear friend, has told us that we are not what we should be. This is why we have all this trouble going on in this world with suicides, because somebody has convinced this our populace that we can never be what we should. And I'm ashamed of many of our churches are even doing the same thing, in the way that we stand and we do. We're causing people to think that they are not worthy of salvation, such a great salvation. And they are not worthy. But because of Christ, he died for all. Not the righteous, the unrighteous. And we're all unrighteous. Sometimes, we get to thinking in such a way, kind of like they do over in India. It's a strange thing over in India. They got this caste system. They say they've done away, but I don't believe them. It's been in their history too long. You've got upper class, I guess, middle class, and lower class, and none of the classes ever meet. And sometimes I think we get that in our church. Not here. Lord, I hope I can guard against that. You know, as a pastor, I'm going to take and watch over and make sure that doesn't happen. But dear friend, listen. Sometimes I think, well, because my testimony is I got saved in Sunday school. I grew up in church. And therefore, I got a better testimony than that one that was saved out of the wickedness of sin. Oh, no, dear friend. It took the same amount of blood to save you in Sunday school as it did that harlot on the street. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Listen, dear friend, he didn't bleed a little bit in his arm for Sunday school kids. And bleed a whole lot on his right rear for homeowners. He shed his blood. And he carried the sins of men, iniquity of men and women upon him on the cross of Calvary. And he came to give us life. And it's a great attack upon us. Great attack. You know the Bible says we're fearfully and wonderfully made? Amen. Each and every one of us. He didn't say those that are size 4. Praise God for it. I left that when I was 6. He said you're fearfully and wonderfully made. And it's causing our kids to grow up and think they got to be something that this world has labeled as something. Do you understand, dear friend? When you've trusted Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, the Bible says we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus.
But Brother Jim, if I got it right, the Bible says once I trust Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, I'm joint heir with Christ. I've just wallowed up into a whole bunch of stuff that I'm not worthy of. But because of the beloved, because of Christ and my relationship with Him and the Heavenly Father, because of Christ, it's all mine. And all yours. You understand why there's such a great attack upon the Word of God? There's such a great attack. Go with me, if you would, over to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter number 2. Listen, young girls, you don't have to go into the bathroom every time you get undone, get done eating, and stick your finger down your throat because society says you got to be a 10.
Not 10, that probably would be right.
What does society say? A 0? Double 0? Double off buckshot? Whatever society says you have to be, you are your own person. Listen, dear friend, if everybody was size 1 or 3, Walmart would be out of business. God knew what He was doing. Oh, Mr. Walton had a great plan before the corporate society took over the plan and moved all these robots in, and now we've got to check ourselves out. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 16. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 16. Men, this world has done convinced us at the age of 60, we should still be running around like we're 18. Got y'all ordering stuff from Lord knows who where. Blue, black, and red. You're going to die of a heart attack, dear friend, I'll tell you. Everybody goes the way of man. It comes a time, ladies, that you leave the past, and you leave the time of woman. Sarah was beyond that. It's not. And listen, there's no shame in growing old. Matter of fact, the Bible says the hoary head is to be honored. To be honored. You know what that is? That's just a thief trying to steal you of joy. The pride of life, the lust of flesh, and the lust of the eyes. I know I'm 60, but man alive, I can act like I'm 22. You act like you're an April for the first person. You figure out what I just said. That's a riddle. If you get that one, we'll let you preach next week. Philippians 2:16. Nevertheless, oh Lord, I'm in 3. Go back to Philippians 2:16. Holding forth the word of life. You see why there's attack? You see there's attack on the word of God? The Bible tells us that we're holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. That I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. You know why there's an attack, Brother Paul? Because this Bible, the book we have that we call the Word of God that's settled forever, the Bible says there's not a jot nor a tittle that shall pass away. It gives understanding. It gives understanding. Hey, it helps us to set goals in line. What are you talking about, Pastor? The Bible teaches us that we should press on to the mark. That's setting a goal. Teach us to set goals. He gives us direction. Somebody give me a verse right now that talks about giving direction. Sister Lois, help me. Direction. Light unto my path. Brother Jim, give me another one that might pop your head. You know it's coming that way. Brother Biz, give me a scripture that says, it gives us direction. What do we do with our thought? Proverbs. Somebody help me. Brother Judd.
3, 5, and 6.
What does it say?
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Be not to thine own understanding, although it acknowledge in each other direction that I have.
Whoa, the path.
You know why some of us Christians are running around like we're a goose in a blind goose in a windstorm? Because we're not holding forth the word of truth. We've been convinced by society that this is an archaic book and it doesn't mean nothing. It's just a bunch of old fables, some fairy tales. This isn't the trolls underneath the bridge. This isn't the one that climbed up the beanstalk. It's not the three little pigs. This is the Word of God. And the Bible says we're to hold it forth. You know why we're not having a life worth living? We're living like we're dead? The Word of God really isn't important to us. Yeah, if I get some, I get it. If I don't, I don't. After all, Pastor, it's settled in heaven forever. Listen. You can have a life worth living, dear friend. You can enjoy the life that you have in Christ. He doesn't want us just to have life. He wants to have us life more abundant. Go into the last verse, and we're going to close up right here. Go to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Actually, I think it's 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. I wrote John down, but I think it's 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. Yeah, 1 John chapter 5, and verse number 11. First John chapter 5, verse number 11, the Bible says, "And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in what? His Son." Why are we chasing life all over the place? What, you know why you're still dissatisfied with your life after you got saved as just as much as you were? Because you're still putting too much value in things. Listen, God's not against you having things. Not at all. But He wants first place in our life. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. Dear friend, before you got saved, you did everything in your power to get saved. If we could have put everything together in a visual, it would look like the Tower of Babel for most of us. We'd build here, work here, tear up here, put it here, and we're trying to build ourselves up to heaven. We're trying to get to heaven, and we did all kind of good things, all kind of bad things, and listen, the Bible says, you call me Lord, Lord, all you want. It ain't about the terminology, the vocabulary we picked up. It is a relationship that begins in the heart. I done told y'all this, we got to... Oh, I love our old hymn book, our song book here, dear friend. I love it with all them. But dear friend, if we only know the words of these songs and not know who it's singing about Him, we're in a world of hurt. We need to know these hymns because we know Him. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. We couldn't get ourselves saved. Why in the world do we fall back towards that after we get saved? It didn't do you a bit of good fooling around with all that stuff before, but you fall right back into the same traps. This is the record that God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Dear friend, if you're searching life out in something else, you need to return back to the resurrected life. He lives forever. See that the right hand throne of God there to make intercession for you. There was Aesop this morning. You had a class that was telling you, oh, it was a man. Many of you had a class this morning. Y'all was talking about the Greek gods. And the Greek gods, they just happened to die off, didn't they? How can a god just simply just die away? Our God is alive forever. Zeus and Thor and Athena and Superman and Batman, all of them dead. Gone. Our God lives forevermore. If you want life, dear friend, you've got to figure out, why am I not enjoying abundant life? I'll tell you, dear friend, if you're just puzzled about it, do you not understand the Bible said the thief cometh to kill and to steal and destroy? He's not wanting you to have life. He wants to rob you of every bit of the joy, the blessings, and the fellowship and relationship that we could we have in Christ, and the access that we have to God. Listen, dear friend, he understands that the veil was rent. And because of Christ, we have access until we choose to place something in front of us and our God. Whatever is there, remove it so you can enjoy life abundant. Again, now last week I started this and started talking about this. I'm not talking about you running around here giggling, laughing all the time, just like you've done been sucking helium. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that peace of God, that joy that lives in me. How many of y'all remember a couple of years ago there was a church that was just all over the place on TV? Everything, news media was after. They called it the Laughing Church. You ever heard of that? Where are they at now? Because they go on emotions. Holding forth the word of truth because it changes not. How many of you, your emotions have changed since you've come here at 7 o'clock? If you was out in that traffic, I know you were mad. Now you're going to settle down, or you'd be up here telling me to be quiet, past the time to go home. Your emotions change. You ride life on emotions, dear friend, you'll be a shipwreck. You'll be mentally wrecked. I learned something over at Brother at Sister Swagman's house yesterday. I had no idea it was so. You have physical therapy and occupational therapy. And I asked her granddaughter, Haley, I said, well, what is it when it's up here? She said, psychotherapy. Some of us, dear friend, need some heart therapy. You get physical therapy, you walk around, you like at the carnival. You're running around this ride to that ride. I mean, you're happy, you raise your hands on the roller coasters, but your heart's far from it. Your heart's far from it. Get your heart right. Don't allow the devil, the thief, the roaring lion, Satan himself, Lucifer. He is not your friend. This world is not your friend. We have a friend to stick a post in the brother.